Yeah. Thanks for showing up. Hey, man, how about let's give our band a little love? This is the fourth time they've done it this weekend. And I'm telling you, they gave you as much passion this time as they did the first time. And so glad you're here. I want to welcome all of you that are here in person. Welcome all of you that are online. Come on, y'all, let's welcome our online visitors. Let them know we love them. And we're glad they're here today. And so thanks for choosing Bethel. Today is Easter, and we are here to celebrate today. Like, I love to celebrate. And so since the beginning of 2025, we've been talking about this topic called moments. Everybody say moments. We've been talking about these moments, how we encounter God for the first time, and it's a moment when we realize that we can be saved and cleansed and born again, and it changes the course of our life. We talked about this moment when a husband and wife come to the front aisle and they celebrate biblical marriage, and it's this moment when she looks at you with that look. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's the last time you ever saw that look. Come on, somebody. Now I'm teasing. It's moments, these moments when our children are born, these moments that form us and shape us, and we can draw strength from them. And so today, we're here, and we're here to celebrate the ultimate moment since the beginning of time, where Jesus Christ took the devil's best shot, and he defeated death, hell, and the grave. The stone was rolled away, and he was risen, and he is alive forevermore. How many of you know that's worth celebrating today? It's this ultimate moment. So we're going to read the scripture. We're going to look at the Bible. We're going to see the story. It's found in Mark chapter 16, verse number 1 through 7. If you want to turn there in your Bible, scroll there on your phone. It'll be on the screen as well. We're going to read Mark chapter 16, verse 1 through 7. Then we're going to pray, and we're going to see what the Lord would challenge us with today. Mark chapter 16, starting in verse number 1, says this: Saturday evening, when the Sabbath had ended, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, went out to purchase some burial spices so they could go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. And on the way, they were talking to each other, and they said, "Who's going to roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" But as they arrived to the tomb, they looked up. As they arrived, they looked up, and the stone, which was very large, it had already been rolled aside. And they entered into the tomb, and they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and the women were shocked. But the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died." Let's pray, would you? Father, we love you. We thank you for today. Thank you for this moment, for the opportunity to come and to celebrate with like believers. Lord, thank you for this place, this Bethel Assembly. It's not a perfect place, but it's a place where you've called us to come. And Lord, thank you that we get to come together and just celebrate today. Lord, I ask you that your Holy Spirit would anoint me, not to speak my words, but to speak your words. And I pray, Lord, as I speak those words out, you would grab them and you would tailor make them for each person, that you would speak to our hearts and speak to our minds, that you would encourage us, and we would leave here changed because we had a moment in the presence of our risen Savior. We love you. Have your way in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. So I'm going to be real with y'all today. It's Easter, and I'm going to tell you something. This is the 25th time I have preached the Easter message. It's the 25th time, and so I got to tell you, as a pastor and a preacher, like, you want every service to be great. You want every service to be better than the previous service. And so when it comes to Easter, like, every year about a month before Easter, I start praying, "Okay, Lord, I want this year's Easter message to be better than last Easter. Lord, give me a revelation. Lord, speak to me. Show me something that I can share with the people that will make this Easter be so much better." And as I was praying, I'm going to tell you what the Lord said to me this year. As I was trying to prepare for this very service, here's what the Lord said to me: "Cody, the Easter story is enough within itself. The Easter story is enough within itself." And the Lord said to me, "Cody, I don't need you or any other preacher to make the Easter story any more powerful. I just need y'all to proclaim Jesus is alive and he's risen from the dead." The Easter story, man, it's the power of God revealed on this earth. The Easter story is the greatest story in history. Jesus is the only man, the only man. You know what we all have in common in here today? Can I just be really real with y'all? We're all going to die someday. It's the truth. And nobody in the history of time since creation has ever defeated death. Nobody has ever won that victory over death other than Jesus Christ. That is enough for me and you to know that my Savior lives and He reigns and He's King of Kings today. It's the greatest story in history. The Easter story is the story of a God in heaven looking down upon a fallen earth full of men and women, full of men and women who have chosen to follow their own selfish desires and their own selfish ways rather than to be obedient to the very God that gave us life. The Easter story is God looking down from heaven and looking down and saying, you know what? Maybe y'all have chosen a different way, and maybe you've been just a little bit selfish, but God said, I still love you. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, God still loved us, and Christ came to die for us. It's God looking down from heaven and saying, I love those people where they are, but I love them enough not to leave them where they are. It's this Easter story of God coming down. Jesus left heaven. Do y'all understand that? Jesus left heaven. He left his seat in paradise to come to this hate-filled, dark, evil, wicked, selfish world. He was in heaven on the streets of gold where there was no problem, there was no sadness, there was no sorrow, there was no tear-dimmed eye, and Jesus left his seat in paradise to come down here to redeem people like you and me. Good God! That makes me feel good today. He came down, and you know what he did? He came down to this earth for one reason. He came down to this earth to die to pay for mine and your sins. He came to live so that he could die for you and I. He came and he lived 33 years. He came and he set an example. You want to know how to live life? You want to know how to have authentic relationship? You want to know how to reflect God in your daily life? Read the life of Jesus Christ. The Easter story is the story of Jesus coming here and showing us how to have authentic relationship. It's Jesus coming and showing us how to love God with all of our heart and to lay our life down for the will of the Father. Jesus came. The Easter story is Jesus coming to this earth and showing you and I how to extend grace when grace is not deserved. It's the story of showing you and I how to extend mercy when mercy is not deserved. The Easter story is the story of the only begotten Son of God leaving his place in paradise to come show you and I how we should forgive others, how we should live our life. He showed us how to meet people right where they are. He showed us to love people in the middle of their sin, but to love them enough to call them out in their sin and lead them to a better way in life. Jesus showed us how to sacrifice ourselves for others. Jesus showed us how to walk through difficulty, how to walk through rejection, how to walk through when people are denying you. He showed us how to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and to choose joy while I'm walking through those struggles. Jesus allowed himself to be crucified to pay for all of our sins. He hung on the cross. They stuck the sword in his side. They drew it out. The blood ran down, and the blood is what brings us hope and forgiveness today. But the story didn't stop on the cross. Come on, somebody. The story didn't stop on the cross. Jesus took the devil's best shot on this very day, 2,025 years ago. He defeated death. He defeated hell. He defeated the grave. Our Savior, our Redeemer, our Messiah, He is alive today. We don't come here to celebrate an empty tomb. We came here to celebrate a resurrected Savior, and that's the power of the gospel, and that's all I need, and that's all you need in order to say I'm motivated to give everything I've got to bring glory to Almighty God. That's all we need is the Easter story, man. That's all we need. So here's my goal for today. My goal for today is this. You know the Easter story. I just presented it to you. My goal is this as a pastor. Like as a pastor, I'm the pastor, I'm the shepherd of this flock. Like I love you. Some of you, you aggravate the fire out of me, but I love you. And my goal as a pastor, I don't preach every week. Connor doesn't sing every week. These teams don't come here and serve every week. We don't do it for no reason. We do it because we love you, and we know that God has more for you out there, and we want to push the needle forward in your life. We want to push you and encourage you and motivate you to dig in and grow closer to God between this Easter and between next Easter. So the question I want to answer today and that the Lord has put on my heart, what can we draw from the Easter story that will push the needle forward in your life, that will help you grow stronger in your faith, that will help you draw closer to God? And so the first thing I think is this. I love when I read you the story of Easter. These women start out on Sunday morning and they go seek Jesus. They start out on Sunday morning and they're seeking Jesus. You got to understand, these women, the attitude is not the best. Like their pastor, Jesus was their pastor, and he had been their pastor for 3 years. Jesus had prayed for these women. Jesus had taught these women. These women had seen Jesus perform many miracles. He was their pastor, and now he has been falsely accused. He has been arrested. He has been murdered, and he is dead, buried in a tomb. I would hope if your pastor was murdered, you would be sad. But even though these women are walking, they're actually walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Even though things aren't going the way they want them to go, they say, we're going to get up on Sunday morning and we're going to seek Jesus. They get up on Sunday morning. How many of you know that God could have chosen any day for Jesus to be resurrected? He could have chose Monday. He could have chose Wednesday, hump day. He could have chose Friday. But God chose Sunday, the Lord's day. God chose that day for Jesus to be resurrected. And I think there's a message in that for you and I that can help push the needle forward. And the question is this. We got to start giving God our Sundays every week of the year. We got to start saying, this is the Lord's day. And after all that he's done to me, I can't believe how good the Lord has been to me. I can't believe how many prayers the Lord has answered. I can't believe that my marriage is still working. I can't believe that my kids are serving God. I can't believe that I'm a pastor of a church like this over here. And after all God has done to me, surely I can give him one day of my week as much as I can. There's something special about Sunday. There's something, I know. I know you can worship God. I know you can have a relationship with God. And I know all you cowboys tell me I can just saddle up my horse and ride out across the pasture and have these moments with God. And you are true, and that is right. But there is something about coming together with a body of believers. There's something about saying, this is the family of God, and I'm going to go to church. Acts chapter 20, verse number 7. Acts chapter 20, verse number 7. On the first day of the week, we gathered together with local believers to share the Lord's Supper. And Paul was preaching to them. And since he was leaving the next day, he kept talking until midnight. The first century church said on the first day of the week, they said, I'm going to start my week off right. How many of you have a lot of trouble sometimes those other 6 days of the week? Come on, y'all. And you need a certain place to go to. And they said, on the first day of the week, I'm starting my day off right, and I'm coming to church. And even if Paul preaches until midnight, I'm not going to gripe. I'm going to hang out till the sermon is over. You may be here a while today. We may just stay in that, vein of Paul. I love that. I love the story, Revelation 1:10. Let's read this one. Revelation 1:10, it tells the story of this disciple named John. He was the disciple that Jesus loved. He'd been cast out of society. He'd been arrested. He'd been placed on an island called Patmos. He is secluded from everything he's ever known. He's secluded from his family and his friends. He is by himself to live out his days. Revelation 1:10 says this. It was the Lord's day, and I was worshiping in the Spirit, and suddenly I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet's blast. I love the fact that John didn't have a cool new church to go to. I love the fact that John didn't have an awesome worship team to come and worship to. I love the fact that John had absolutely nothing. He didn't have a calendar to remind him it was Sunday, but something inside of him said, this is the day that the Lord has made. This is Sunday. This is the Lord's day. And ain't no devil in hell gonna stop me from getting in the Spirit and worshiping God. And when he got in the Spirit and worshiped God on Sunday, there was a loud voice behind him. And if you read the book of Revelation, it was God Almighty who showed up on Sunday to talk to John that day. I think John had a moment that day. Church Sunday, I just want to challenge you about Sunday. Like, can I just tell you, I love church. I said, I love church. I love coming to church. I love that my family loves coming to church. You know how cool this gathering right here is today, y'all? You know how cool it is that we come together? Is this church perfect? Absolutely not. You know why this church ain't perfect? Because your preacher ain't perfect. You know why else this church ain't perfect? Because you ain't perfect neither. Church, but it's our church. It's our place. We got a new building, and sometimes when it rains, the roof leaks. It ain't perfect out there. Sometimes the music is a little too quiet, and sometimes the music is a little bit too loud over here. And sometimes I talk way too fast, and sometimes I preach way too long. This church is not perfect, but this is the church that God has called you and I to, and special things happen inside of this church, and we need to make it a priority moving forward in our life, because here's the deal. Christians don't have to go to church, but Christians that are trying to push the needle forward and grow in their faith always show up for the assembly and gathering together to bring glory to God, because something special happens on Sundays. Something special happens. You know, I just got to tell you something. I love the kids in our church. Can I just say that to y'all? People say all the time, well, they just don't even have any kids service over there. Yeah, we do. It's in here with us. Because you know what? I think families that worship together are families that stay together. Now, I love to watch the kids come together. Can I tell you something? Can I encourage you parents in something? Can I encourage you soon-to-be parents? Can I encourage you grandparents in something? Your children are going to grow up, and they're going to go out on their own one of these days. And I'm going to tell you something. If you have made Sunday morning church a priority while your children were growing up, I'm going to tell you, when they get to be 18 or 20, and they're struggling, and they don't know where to go, and they don't know who to turn to, and the world says turn to drugs, and the world says turn to sex, and the world says turn to this, they're going to remember the example that their parents and grandparents set, and they're going to say, Mom and Daddy always took us to church when things went wrong, and they will be drawn back to the church where they can be empowered when they get older. Sundays and church are so powerful. As I think about the gatherings at church, man, I think about you. I look out here at you people, man, and I see Billy Dale Haley sitting over there. I never thought that Billy Dale Haley had been a friend of mine and my family for years, man. Did I ever think that he would be coming to this church, and that his family and the Langleys would be coming to this church, and they would have a new healthy baby boy that was born so crazy premature? But I look at that and I see your lives and I go, you know what? Your lives are better because of this church, but guess what else? This church is better because you're in this church, and powerful things happen on Sunday when we gather in the name of the Lord. When I look, man, I never thought I'd cry over you, Billy Dale. When I look at this church, and I'm sorry, but I see the Vincent family back there, man. They're just like me, man. They've been far, they've been wide, they've been messed up, and they're going through some struggles, and they're going through some trials. But you know what? They're coming over here, and they're seeking the Lord, and God is doing some crazy and mighty things. When I see Billy Schwartz and his wife, Tiana, and Billy was working over here at this church, and they were not even serving God, not even believing in God. He was a construction worker building buildings for us, but because we had built a relationship with him, now they come to church, and their whole life is absolutely changed because of church. Can I just be real with you? Can I just be honest with you? It's not because of me. It's because we gather together, but I am better because of this church. My marriage is better because of this church. My kids are better because of this church, and this church is better because of my kids' church, and Sunday morning is instituted by God, and we got to make it a priority in our life if we're going to move the needle forward. Church is so powerful. These women get up on Sunday morning and they say, you know what? We're going to go and seek Jesus. Let me tell you the next thing these women did that we can learn from. It says they got up very early in the morning. Oh, y'all got quiet on me. They got up early. Let me ask something real quick. Raise your hand. How many of you like to get up early? Let me see. Raise your hand. Yeah, 595 people in here and 12 of you like to get up early. I know it's hard sometimes. It's hard to get up early. I know you work hard. I know you work two jobs. I know you stayed up late. I know you got kids, but we've made this excuse that somehow our life is better if we hit the snooze button 14 times and wait till the last minute to get out of our beds. Can I tell you something in love as your pastor today? 5 minutes of getting up early is not going to wear you out and not going to kill you. You got to make it a priority. You got to say, I got to get up early in the morning. You say, well, it's my habit, Cody. And I say, well, then you can change your habits. I can change my habits early in the morning. I think the enemy knows the power of men and women getting up early in the morning. And I think he will fight against it. Because in the mornings, it's quiet. How many of you, your day gets really wild really quick? Can I hear a good amen? And the phone's ringing and the kids are there and you got to pack lunches and you got to make breakfast. In the morning, it's quiet. It's tranquil. It's still. It helps us start our day off right. And I'm just going to challenge you. If you want to move the needle forward between this Easter and the next Easter, start with 5 minutes. Start with just 5 minutes. I'm going to get up early in the morning. 5 minutes early. You know what that does? You know what that says to God when we just give him 5 minutes? It shows him that we have some spiritual diligence. It shows him that we're willing to give a little bit of extra. It shows him that we're willing to give our first fruits. First fruits. We preach about first fruits when we talk about giving money. Give God the first 10%, the first tithe. Give him your first fruits. Well, can I tell you something that is way more valuable than our money? It's our time. Because we can always get some more money, but we can't always get any more time. And if we wake up and we say to God, I'm going to give you my first fruits. I'm going to give you 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. That's all I'm asking y'all that don't do it. Wake up 5 minutes early. Get your Bible out. Start reading your Bible. You got to read the Word of God. People say to me all the time, Cody, I'm fixing to read the Bible all the way through this year. And I say, that's dumb. Don't even try it. Because you start in Genesis, and by the time you get to Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, your mind is blown and you've given up. Start in the New Testament. Start Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's the story of Jesus. It's his life. He shows us how to live. He shows us how to love. He shows us how to honor the Father. You say, Cody, I've already read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I say, well, you know what? Read it again, because the Word of God is active and living and alive, and you'll get a new revelation out of it this time if you read it again. Don't read for quantity, read for quality. Read just a few. Start somewhere. Start in Luke. Start in Luke in the morning. Luke. Everybody shout Luke. Start in the morning. Read just 3, 4, 5 verses. Pray. Read a few verses. Stop. And then when you get through reading the Word of God, just say a little prayer. Learn to pray. You say, Cody, I don't know how to pray. I say, that's bullcorn. That's the lie of the devil. Most of you, I heard every one of you talking today. That's all you got to do. Don't pray like this. Oh, dear Father God, we beseech thee in heaven. Father God, we love you. Father God, thank you, Father God, for this day. Father God, you are so good, Father God. And I think the Lord's looking at that going, knock it off. Be real, be authentic. Say, Lord, I'm trying this. It's a new deal at Easter. My preacher preached an awesome message, and I'm inspired Monday morning. And so I'm just asking you, Lord, help me. Help me understand the Word of God. Help me have peace. Help me have joy. Help me be kind to others. Bless my nation. Bless my family. Lord, thank you. Help me honor you in Jesus' name. So read a little bit, pray a little bit, and then just sit still for a few moments and meditate and listen to what God might say to you. It is a total game changer. Matthew 6:33 says this. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. Seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God. It will start your day off right. If you read scripture, so many examples. Abraham, the father of our faith, says he got up early in the morning. Moses, greatest leader, arguably, of the Old Testament, got up early in the morning. Joshua, the man that led the Israelites into the promised land, got up early in the morning. Jesus himself got up early and spent time with God in the morning. I think that you and I will see this if we will give God our Sundays, if we will give God our first fruits in the very morning, we will see that God will reward our efforts, and he will go before us, and he will prepare a way for us. He'll go before us and prepare a way. See, I love this scripture, Isaiah 45:2. It says this, I will go before you, and I will level the exalted places. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze, and I will cut through the bars of iron. If we give him our Sundays, if we give him our first fruits early in the morning, he promises to go before us, lower the mountains, raise up the valley, and kick the doors open that the devil is shut in our life. these women, the first of our story on the very first Easter morning, they got up on Sunday, they got up early, and they started walking to the tomb. What was the biggest obstacle that they discussed and talked about that day? What about that stone? There's a big, huge rock. There's a big, huge boulder. They said, I wonder who's going to be there to roll that stone out of the way. But because they gave God their Sunday and because they gave God their first fruits, God went before them and rewarded them. And when they got to the tomb, the stone was already rolled away and the tomb of the entrance was open. I wonder, is there anybody in this place that has some boulders or some rocks or some stones that are in your path and you need to get them rolled out of the way? And you've hired the bulldozer, and you've paid a lot of money, and you've got some big, strong men around you to help you remove the stone. All you got to do is give God your Sunday, seek him early in the morning, and trust him to go before you and prepare the way. Man, if we ever can get a hold of that, if we can ever get a hold of that, we will walk with a boldness, we will walk with a faith, and we will walk with a confidence, and we'll say, I've given God, and I've done my part, and God has never left me, and he's never forsaken me. We will run the race with passion and vigor and energy, trusting and knowing that he's already been before us. It's a game changer, y'all. It's a game changer. I think when these women got to the tomb that day, the stone was rolled away. They stepped in. They had an encounter with an angel. I think they had a moment. They saw Jesus was risen from the dead. Their life was changed. I think they looked back to that moment for the rest of their days. I want to close with this. I want to challenge you with this. I want to challenge you. Sundays, seek him early, trust God. But I want to close with this to remind you exactly what the resurrection means for you and I. Because I'm at my best when I'm in a good relationship with God and people around me. Can I hear a good amen? No matter the money, no matter the job, no matter the situation, relationships are what bring life. And here's what we need to know. Before Jesus rose from the dead, we were separated from a holy God. From the God that gives life, from the God that loves us, from the God that goes before us. He was a holy God and we were a sinful, fallen people and we were separated from him. Can I tell you what separates us from this good God? Isaiah 59:2. Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated you and your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear it. Holy God, righteous God, fallen and sinful people. You know what separates us? Mine and your poor choices and mine and your sin. Because God can have nothing to do with sin. But while we were in sin, God said they can't work their way back to me. God said they can't do enough good stuff and they can't go to church enough. But God said, I'm going to make a way. And can I tell you something? We don't like to talk about sin in 2025. Because if you start preaching about sin, people get booty hurt and they get offended. They do. They say, well, that preacher's talking about sin. Who is that preacher to judge me? I can't believe that preacher's talking to me. You know who the preacher's preaching about when the preacher preaches about sin? Himself. Come on, somebody. Because the Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And when the preacher is preaching to himself, he's preaching to all of us because we all have sin. And our sin separated us from God and we couldn't work our way back to God. But God sent his only begotten son to die on a cross and shed the blood to forgive us where we could come back into right relationship with God. You know what? Here's what I want you to see. Romans 4:25 says this. Jesus was delivered for our sins and he was raised for our justification. Justification. I want to talk to you in the closing moments of this service about justification. I understand that's a preacher word. We don't use that word very much. I will explain that to you. Being justified is this. It's just being made right with God. Justification. Justified. When we understand we're separated, when we understand that only by the blood can we come into relationship with the Father, when we repent of our own sins, and when we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, at that moment we become justified, justified, never sinned. We are cleansed and made whole and made new once again. Jesus rose from the dead so we could be justified. When he rose out of the tomb, he grabbed the hand of an almighty God and he grabbed the hand of a sinful man and woman and he brought us back together. And now we can have a life-giving relationship with God the Father. That's what the resurrection means. Conrad and worship team, come help me close this thing, please. What else does the resurrection mean? The resurrection means this: death has been defeated. Death has been defeated. It means this: if Jesus could defeat death, now you and I can defeat death as well. Death is a tough thing, and in my occupation and in my calling and what God is asking me to do, I see lots of death. I walk with people through the valley of the shadow of death. I watch them lose loved ones. I watch them lose people that they care about. And I want to tell you real quick about someone that we saw, Cole and I, walk through this valley of shadow of death with one of Cole's friends this last week. A young man, I think he was 28 years old. He was 28 years old. He was a cowboy, and he had a wife, and he had two little girls, and his wife is pregnant with another girl. And at 28 years old, he's living on a ranch, riding a bronc in the horse pasture, and nobody knows what happens, but the wife went out there and found him. The horse had fallen with him, and he was dead. Left a widow, left a wife, a pregnant wife at that, left two little kids. And Cole went up there to walk with them through the valley of the shadow of death and to be a part of the funeral service. And you know what he said to me? He said, man, their faith encouraged me. They said to me, we don't understand it, and it hurts, and we're crying, and we're upset, but we know the word of God, and we know that Jesus was resurrected, and we know that my husband, and we know the father of these kids is in heaven with Jesus, and we know through the resurrection and the blood that someday we're going to get to see him again. When you have hope of the resurrection, it changes. It changes everything in your life. It changes the way you look at difficulty and the way you look at struggles. I close with this. Jesus is alive. And today we don't go to a tomb and pray to some headstone. And we don't go to a tomb. We don't go pray to some little wooden fat belly Buddha doll and burn some incense. Our Jesus is alive, and he walks with us, and he talks with us daily. And anytime we need anything, all we got to do is say, help me, Lord Jesus. And he's there with us. He is alive. That's good news. That means that we can be justified. That means that we can have hope of eternal life. So I want to ask you to do me a favor before I go to my final prayer. I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Y'all give me just a little bit of lights out there. I want to ask you something today. If you're here and you made your way to church over here today, and you think you're here because somebody invited you here, you think you're here because somebody wanted you to come, but you're really here because the Lord loves you and the Lord wants you to hear the gospel message and the good news, and maybe you feel separated and far from God, and you're full of guilt, shame, and unworthiness, and you've tried to work your way out of it. You just keep failing. I want to tell you today, one decision: to believe in your heart with Jesus as Lord and confess with your mouth, you will be saved and washed white as snow at that moment. Then you got to repent. You got to quit your way and start living God's way. God will change everything in your life. So I want to ask you, if you're here today and you've never invited Christ into your life, you've never just submitted yourself and said, I give up, and humbled yourself and said, I need help. Never invited Jesus to be Lord of your life, but you say, I want to do that today before I leave this church. Would you just slip your hand and raise your hand right now? God bless you, Cole, David, some of you. Keep them raised up right now. Right here, Cole. Right here, somebody. Naomi, you go over with her, please, ma'am. Talk to her. Over this room. Some of you leaders, get back here. Some of you leaders, come meet these people right where they are. Come on right now. Come on right now and talk to them. Share with them right now. What an awesome moment. What a moment right now. Who else is back here? Billy, come back here. Help me. Somebody. Spencer, come help me down here with these people. They got their hands raised up before they give out and change their minds. Hank, you come too. Anybody. People all across this room right here raising their hands. Talk to them and pray with them for a moment, okay? While they're praying with them and while they're talking to them, I want to challenge the rest of you. I want to challenge the rest of you in this room. How are you going to push the needle forward this next year? How are you going to draw closer? First thing I got to tell you is you got to make God and your relationship with God a priority. And I'm not saying that you're not. I'm just saying you got to examine yourself. You got to judge yourself. You got to ask yourself, is God a priority? And you got to make him priority this next year. And you got to show him you're going to make him priority by giving him your Sundays. This is not the church for you. If this is too far, if we're too wild or too loud, then find you a church. There's a church for you, a place where you can be blessed, but you can also be a blessing. Push the needle forward. You got to give God your first fruits. And then you got to seek him with passion. You got to give him everything that you got. If we do these things, you say, Cody, is it really that simple? Is it really that simple that I got to give God my Sundays, that I got to seek him first, and I got to do it with passion? And I would say, absolutely yes, we have made it way too difficult. If you do those three things, you will have some moments with God over this next year that will change your life and change the life of everyone around you. It will certainly change the life of your kids. So I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet. We're going to close with a song of worship. We're going to sing about how good God is. We're going to sing and worship about everything that God has done in our life. So Holy Spirit, continue to move. Thank you today for the men and women that gave their life to Christ and their eternity was changed. Today, we celebrate that. Come on, church, can we celebrate with those people that made that decision? I mean, can we really celebrate? I can't believe how good the Lord is. Come on, let's sing like we love the Lord.